T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
ESPN Upstate rolls on. Robin Diesel with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of the show. Hope you are having a good time with us here on 97.7 FM Greenville, 97.1 FM Spartanburg, and on your radio.com app, radio.com/ESPN Upstate/listen is the website. If you just want to head straight there, you can push that purple play button and listen to the station around the clock, or use the radio rewind feature to listen to local programming up to 24 hours after it airs. I want to go back to that Chuck Barkley and Peyton Manning conversation on the Monday Night Football secondary broadcast. They did what they called the mega broadcast. They had Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit kind of chatting about the game itself, but they also kind of talked about a handful of other sports as it happened. They had Charles Barkley and Peyton Manning on together, and these two guys are ridiculous. I wanted to play some more audio because their conversation and their trash talk back and forth was absolutely hilarious. Here is how they opened that conversation.
Know your height and weight your senior year, because you were lean. What, how big were you your senior year in high school?
6'5", 225.
That should put you a tight end, big fella.
Well, listen, if I had like a real quarterback, I had bad quarterbacks in high school. If I had like a real quarterback, I could have been like Tony Gonzalez.
Like that guy?
Like Peyton Manning.
How about Peyton Manning? How would that have worked out for you?
Well, I don't know. Listen, he went to Tennessee because he didn't have the grades to go to Auburn. But you know what? Me and Bo Jackson. No, hey, listen, hey, I'm telling you, me and Bo Jackson could have got him into Auburn, I promise you that.
Peyton,
6'5", 220, a tight end.
Yeah, I mean, that was the main reason. I wanted to go to Auburn, but I just couldn't get in academically. So, a man's got to make a decision. So, Charles, just to follow up to Kirk's question, what is your current playing weight now?
Hey, listen, I'm going to call human resources on you, Peyton. You cannot be insulting people on television. You have to be politically correct nowadays. Those days of talking about me being fat are over.
That was fantastic. Hey, Charles, what's your playing weight now? Chuck said, I'm going to call human resources on you. Then just a couple of minutes later, they had this trash talk back and forth about Tennessee and Auburn getting together. Remember, Tennessee added to the schedule of Auburn, or I should say Auburn added to the schedule of Tennessee this year, whichever way you want to look at it, because of the COVID. Here is Peyton and Chuck talking a little college football smack.
I'm looking forward to the SEC starting, like Kirk said. Tennessee's got Auburn later in the year, Kirk. That was one of our bonus games that was given to us as a gift. Alabama and LSU got Vanderbilt and Kentucky, I think. But we got A&M and Auburn. And, I'll be at Auburn. Charles, if you want to do something right now, kind of make a statement about the game, I'd be glad to give you my thoughts.
Well, you know, in the SEC, we only worry about Alabama and Georgia. Tennessee's like on the back burner. Like, we got our hands full with Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. Like, we put y'all, listen, y'all call it a bonus. Y'all were like our preseason schedule, Tennessee, before we get to Alabama and Georgia.
Talking that trash. Hey, well, you know what? Hey. Chuck's been a long time friend of College Game Day. I think it was this his first appearance, one I'm about to show.
Yeah,
right here.
It was a Tennessee game in 04.
Yeah, let's have a look at this, 2004.
Look who has joined us here. Oh, number 34 from Auburn, Charles Barkley, getting that warm SEC road welcome from the ball.
He called it that night.
And for Tennessee, there's light at the end of the tunnel, but it's a train coming.
Let me tell you the rest of the story. Ronnie Brown, first series, ran over All-American Jason Allen, and it was like a train running over somebody, and it set the tone. So you not only picked Auburn, you called your shot there. You got to give you credit there.
Well, you know what happened, Herbie? I went down before the game, and I don't know if Peyton ain't donating enough money. They had all those little guys out there. Auburn players were 20, 30 pounds bigger. I said, these little dudes ain't got no chance of stopping Ronnie Brown and Cadillac. They're going to run all over them. And, Peyton, you need to donate some more money to Tennessee because y'all ain't got no good weight room.
Hey, I'm telling you, the balls are coming back. Jeremy Pruitt's the right guy leading the charge, and I'm excited about Tennessee football. And we got South Carolina next Saturday night, and looking forward to getting the SEC started. I know you guys are as well.
You know, Diesel, the next time you call me fat, I'm going to call Human Resources on you.
What do they think they're doing? Putting Peyton Manning, who's got the personality of a wet paper bag, up against Charles Barkley. That dude, all he does is talk trash. I mean, Chuck's just dunking on him over and over and over again, and Peyton's like, yeah, man, Auburn's hard to get into. Like, come on, man. At least have somebody writing some jokes for Peyton, please.
I'm sorry.
Like, Peyton, you're funny in these commercials with Brad Paisley, but you're only funny because you're so damn dry. That's what makes it funny. But you can't put that guy. That's like putting me up against Michael Jordan and say, go guard him. Yeah, right.
Dude, I love me some Peyton Manning. Peyton is. Now Diesel runs with a rough crowd. All right, Diesel's a big metal guy. He runs with a rough crowd. I've hung around with him and his boys. They are ruthless with each other. It's hilarious. I love it. But Peyton's that good old Southern fella that his mama told him, if you can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all, you know? So his jokes, he got in a fat joke about Chuck Barkley, who, yeah, I mean, Chuck may have put on a pound or 27 since his playing days in the NBA back in the day. But, yeah, Peyton's not really that ruthless killer. Chuck, on the other hand, doesn't care about anybody. The other day on Inside the NBA, Chuck and Shaq were going at it, as Chuck and Shaq always do. And when Chuck and Shaq were going at it, Shaq said something about being famous, and Chuck said, if it wasn't for Kobe and Dwayne Wade, we wouldn't know who you are. And, like, we all know that's not true, but it was still hilarious. Still hilarious. Give me Chuck Barkley and Peyton Manning going at it all day, every day, twice on Sunday. Absolutely spectacular. Peyton did get some parting shots in there, not at Chuck Barkley, but at some other teams. Here's what Peyton said to wrap up his appearance on the mega broadcast.
But as soon as the runner's tackled, you're able to hear the play caller talking to the quarterback's ear. He has until 15 seconds on the play clock. Oh. And then somebody cuts the line. Now, certain teams, maybe in the Northeast, they don't cut their line. They actually let it go all the way to 0 seconds. But for most of the teams, they do cut the line, so you have to get the play in earlier. So, you know, it's kind of a combination.
You're on fire.
My man Peyton taking the very unmasked shot at Bill Belichick and Tom Brady with those certain teams up in the Northeast. But, you know, look, when it comes down to sports on TV, for me anyway, Diesel, this is what I'm looking for, right? I want that combination. I want that combination of entertainment, but also sports knowledge. I mean, I think that Peyton brought that there. I mean, it's a, you know, him breaking down how the microphones work from head coaches to quarterback, him breaking down the way that communication works, et cetera, I think is fantastic. But him throwing in that little barb at Brady and Belichick is about as good as you can ask for. It's not that hard at least for me, and I know this is subjective and everybody wants different stuff, but to me it's not that tough to figure out. You got that with Levy, Riddick, and Greasy. Did they have their moments where they were bagging on each other? Of course they did. Of course they had those moments where they were bagging on each other. Of course they had those moments where they were making fun of each other and going after each other. But it never overshadowed the game itself. But that mega broadcast, if that is what you're looking for, if that is the type of entertainment that you're trying to get, then that mega broadcast was there too. You had Reese and Kirk that were talking about the game, but talking about other stuff as well. You had Peyton and Chuck coming in and knocking each other down a peg or two at a time. That's exactly what television broadcast, not just TV. I mean, I'm talking radio, I'm talking everything. We try to do that with this show, right? I mean, Diesel and I talk as many sports as we can fit in 3 hours, but at the same time, you know, we're going to have a little fun. We're going to pick at each other. We're going to barb. We're going to stream back and forth with you listeners and have some fun with you guys. I mean, that's kind of what we do. It just makes everything more entertaining. 844-477-3776. 844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Text us at 71307. 71307. Start your text with ESPN. If you want to come at us in that direction, we'd love to read your text on the air as well. Go ahead and run to our break a minute or two early, because coming up in the next segment, Savannah Lee, our PGA Tour insider, is going to join us right here on the broadcast. We're going to talk a little golf after a phenomenal U.S. Open at Winged Foot this past weekend. We'll get Savannah's thoughts on that tournament. And then in the segment after that, we're going to make Diesel's day as Lonzo is going to join us. The passing of Joe Laurinaitis, a.k.a. Road Warrior Animal, today at just 60 years of age. We're going to talk about some of our favorite Road Warrior moments from back in the day and what wrestling means for those of us who grew up in the era of the Road Animals. Or the Road Warriors. That's coming up all in this hour on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. I am Rob Brown. Diesel back in the network studio. We are efforting, as we call it here in the radio business, we are efforting Savannah Lee from the Brunswick News to come on and talk a little U.S. Open with us very soon. We're a couple of minutes before when I told Savannah we'd call her, so she should be joining us here any minute now. 844-477-3776, 844-GSP-ESPN. Diesel, she said she's got her phone on her now, so if you want to give her one more shot, she should be able to go. All right, so we'll get Savannah on here in just a second. And coming up in the next segment, just so you know, again, we mentioned earlier that Joe Laurinaitis, of course, Road Warrior Animal from the Road Warriors back in the day, passing away earlier today at just 60 years of age. My man Lonzo is going to join us coming up here in about 12 minutes to talk a little wrestling with us as we celebrate the life of Road Warrior Animal. But now we go from, as only we do here on the Rob Brown Show, we go from the world of golf to a counterpart sport that, of course, shares an enormous demographic. That is professional golf after a phenomenal U.S. Open at Winged Foot this weekend. We now welcome in our PGA Tour insider, Miss Savannah Lee, joins us here on the broadcast to talk a little golf. What's up, Savannah? How are you, lady?
I'm good. I actually just got off the golf course taking pictures of our senior tournament that we do each year out at the Brunswick Country Club. So I'm full force today.
Nice. What time's your tea time after that?
I don't get a tea time today. I'm hoping I get a tea time tomorrow.
Man, that work thing gets in the way of a good social life, doesn't it?
It does.
let's jump right into it. Because you and I both made a couple of correct calls and a couple of terrible calls this weekend. I blame my incorrect call 100% on you, and that would be Phil Mickelson having a bit of a redemption at Wingfoot. Instead, he goes 13 over through 2 days and misses the cut. But I also said I thought Tiger would miss the cut. That happened as well. You went a little stronger, saying you did not think our winner could win. I will now just hand you the mic so you can say all the good things that you can muster about your beloved Bryson DeChambeau.
Well, first off, I'll eat crow whenever I'm wrong. I'm not one of those people that is like, oh, no, this, and this. No, I'll eat crow happily, and I got to give a lot of credit to Bryson DeChambeau. He went out there, did his game, played his game, didn't let anybody mess with him, didn't let any red ants get into his head or anything like that, and he won. And it's one of those things where he earned a lot of respect in at least my eyes, because I never thought he was going to be able to do it because, well, we've seen him launch it a ton of ways, but his short game was always something that was not as consistent as the longer balls that he hit. But I got to give him credit, always give credit where credit is due. I may not necessarily like him, but game, gotta respect game.
Game, see game, keeping it real. You know, and that was kind of interesting. And I actually was in the same boat. I did not think we would see Bryson around at the end of this tournament just because of the fact that this tournament is 100% set up for players that put a value on accuracy. In fact, I tweeted out a screenshot of the tee box off of 18 where you've got a window that's about 8 inches wide by 8 inches tall to get your drive through if you want any chance to have that thing land on the fairway. Bryson DeChambeau, a guy not necessarily known for his accuracy but known for bombing that thing out there, decides, you know what, I'm going to play my game. I'm going to play my game the way that I want to play my game. None of us thought it would work, and it did. But you and I talked about Bryson DeChambeau a couple of weeks ago, and the thing that I said that made him special, as much as the distance is there, is that I don't think he gets nearly enough credit for how good of a scramble golfer he is capable of being, and we saw that on full display. That guy was coming out of the grass more often than I can even imagine at a very difficult course with weeds that are up over your ankles when you're in the thick stuff. But any time that he got down inside of 100, he was coming up with big-time shots. The scramble game of Bryson DeChambeau was put on full display this past weekend.
It was, and I got to give him a lot of credit for that as well, because we've seen in weeks past where, you know, he'll get it down there, but that second or third shot isn't necessarily his greatest, or it'll just fly off somewhere because he hasn't quite controlled it well enough yet. But he had no flaws in his game. I even thought to myself, like, seeing him at the driving range Saturday night until they made him go home or whatever, I was like, oh, Lord, he's going to self-implode. He is going to just, like, ruin it. And as someone who always roots for underdogs and people who necessarily don't ever think that they're going to do something great, that's why I'm like, okay, I got to give it to him, because no matter what, he figured it out, and he figured out how to conquer one of the toughest golf courses in the entire country, and he did it not by a small margin either. So like you said, his scrambling was leaps and bounds better than it was even like 3 or 4 weeks ago. And so I think whatever he's doing, I hope he sticks to it, because all it's going to do is make the other guys around him a little more competitive and try to figure out, well, crap, how am I going to be able to compete with that? Because whenever you hit it 2.5 miles long and now all of a sudden your short game is coming around too, it's almost going to be unfair. So I'm excited. I love good rivalries. I love that he's embracing like the super villain of the golf world. I'm not probably ever going to like be like, oh my gosh, yes, rooting for Bryson DeChambeau. But like I said, I got to respect his game, and he worked on his short game, which is something that I've always, you know, question about him, so I can't say anything but, you know, good on him.
Bryson DeChambeau 6 under in the U.S. Open this past weekend, the only golfer under par. Wolf at even, Oisaisen at 2 over, English at 3 over, and Xavier Schauffele at 4 over for that tournament. I mean, it Savannah, it wasn't just that he won the tournament, it's that he dominated this tournament. I mean, the fact that that game produced not just an under par, but a six under par, which, you know, to me, and I don't know if I'm going out of left field here, but that six under was the equivalent of the 30 under win that we saw out of Thomas earlier this year, and we talked about. I mean, that to me, it's that equivalent of a beatdown when you look at the way that this golf course played out. I mean, I don't want to spend the entire time talking about Bryson DeChambeau because there were plenty of other guys out on the course that did some impressive things. But, man, this to me is going to be a major tournament win that we're going to be talking about for years, man.
I think so. I think we're going to at least talk about it the next year until either Brooks wins another one or someone else does something great and he gets the spotlight taken away from him. I don't necessarily think I'd put it on the magnitude of what Dustin did with the 30 under just because Dustin did it essentially 3 weeks in a row to win a FedEx Cup. Bryson put it together one solid week, and it was at Wingfoot, tough course and everything. But if he can do it, continue to do it and do it in a long streak, then I'll be putting that up there. But what's going to be interesting to me is if he can do something like that at Augusta, figure that out, because that's probably the next place on his list that he's circling of being trying to be able to conquer and do, just like most golfers want that green jacket. So I don't know. I got to give my man Harris English a pat on the back, because that double bogey on one didn't rattle him at all. And I think that's a big testament to how his game's evolved in the last year, because a year ago he wasn't even in this situation. And now he is competing and placing in the top five, top 10 week in and week out. And I just wanted to give him a shout, because that's pretty tough to come back from, especially on Championship Sunday, a double bogey on one and be able to maintain a top five spot. I got to give it to him.
Yeah, and you called Harris English as a potential dark horse last week. Last little thing about Bryson, then we'll move on to some of the other guys. In his post-tournament presser, he was talking about the fact that he still wants more distance. And, you know, we've all talked about the 40-plus pounds of muscle that he packed on during the quarantine before he showed up basically wearing a cape and knee-high boots. Like a superhero on the golf course. But we also talk about the fact that he's putting science into golf. And look, I know a lot of guys do this, you know, trying to work out geometry and angles and all that, but he's very big into numbers, into data, into getting the science behind his golf swing. And he said that he wants to work with Cobra, his club sponsor. He wants to change, potentially go to a longer club. He wants to maybe change up the composite of his club, maybe change the the geometry of the club head. He said he wants another 10, 15 yards of distance. If he is able to work with Cobra to get that science underneath him and to find that 10 or 15 yards more distance onto that drive he's looking for, do you think that that is good or bad or neither for the game of golf at the professional level?
At this point, I think it's bad, because he's already driving at 400 yards alone anyway. And, I mean, like, there's guys doing 350 and stuff, but I feel like he's driving it far enough to be at an advantage above the rest of the pack. So I don't necessarily understand why he wants to continue to change it. When you were kind of describing it, it kind of reminded me of – I had this conversation with my buddy last night about Tiger Woods and how he is constantly asking about different swings and changing his swing and, well, kind of having – or – not just changing it, but having to change it and winning so many majors on three different swings or whatever, and just him constantly being a student of the game. And I think this is Bryson being a student of the game in his own way. And so that's how I'm going to take it. And we already hear Jack and all them being like, whoa, 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 about the whole ball thing. And I don't know. I just don't think he needs to add any more distance. He's already doing 400-plus yards pretty consistently as it is now. Why do you need to go any further when you're already at an advantage?
I mean, because it just helped him win a U.S. Open, I think, is the answer to that. So now we shift ahead. We start looking forward, and I think, I mean, we've got some smaller tournaments between now and then, but the next two majors are both at Augusta National. The next two majors are both going to take place. We've got the Shriners thrown in there in the middle. We've got the Houston Open down at Memorial, but then the Masters November 12th, so we're looking at, you know, just about a month and a half away from now. When you have some of these smaller tournaments taking place, and again, not to diminish them, but when you've got Augusta National around the corner as opposed to our regular schedule, what do you think these golfers do between now and Augusta to make sure that they are prepared and set up for the most prestigious tournament and the most eventful and odd year in golf history?
I think you're probably going to see some of the bigger guys take a couple weeks off just to relax and rest up after that U.S. Open. I think you'll still see a bunch of guys playing because I think they're, after getting golf taken away from them for 90-plus days, it's like, well, I want to keep playing golf. As much as it's work to them, I feel like they enjoy being out there in itself. I think you're going to see a bunch of guys take off a little bit, but then also get right back into it. I expect probably a bigger field at Shriners. I just think that it's going to be a heavy loaded field. To be honest, like, I just think everybody's probably looking at the Masters and being like, okay, that's next, and possibly trying to find courses that either play similar to Augusta or just making sure that they work on their game that's not as accurate or as good as they want it to be. After watching the Payne Valley Cup yesterday with Rory and all them, I want to know why Rory can look that good when he's relaxed and everything, but then he goes into a tournament and he just kind of like, not freezes up, but he gets into his head. So hopefully I want him to be working on that mental aspect of it after getting, you know, having a kid and everything like that. Now he should be able to focus again 100% on golf, but it is his first kid, so he's probably worried about that. But I want to see guys hone in. Let's be laser focused. You got Augusta in November. That's going to be completely different than, say, April, I'm assuming anyway. I don't necessarily know 100% about that side of it, but I'm assuming you're going to see a lot of guys working on some things, and it may be at the smaller tournaments, and it may be not. You may see a lot of guys take off until Augusta.
Talking with Savannah Lee from the Brunswick News. You can follow her on Twitter at SportsGirlSL. Last question, and then we'll cut you loose, Savannah, and that is, look, with the Masters being in November instead of April, no fans on the course as opposed to the gallery of thousands as they have traditionally, it being in a different part of the calendar, et cetera, do you think that there will be a different mentality on the course? We all know how special and how important the Masters tournament is to these players when it's at its regular point in time. Do you think there will be a mentality shift about the Masters with it being 2020, or are these guys going to make the same approach to that tournament as they would in a normal year being played in April?
I would hope they take it as the same approach outside of what physical limits will be different. I don't know necessarily, like I said, with the grass and everything, I don't know how all that works, but that seems to be, to me, the only thing outside of not having fans. So I hope they go in with the same mentality, same intensity, because that course is going to still be the same, regardless if it's outside, you know, well, you know what I mean by the same. It's going to, they know the holes, they know what is the likelihoods of things to happen, and I expect them to come in with a huge mentality. I mean, it's November. You have to get people up. It's usually when golf is kind of like dying down, and here we are going to have a major in the middle of November. And it's just like, why wouldn't you go into it being as intense as possible? Because ended on a big bang. That's how I would probably look at it. Ended on a big bang and end it strong. But then you have the RSM the following week. So I'm kind of like, okay, guys, y'all all do great. Play the Masters hard, but all y'all just come on south and play and have one of the biggest fields that RSM has seen.
Savannah Lee joins us every Wednesday to talk a little golf here on the Rob Brown Show as we get ready for Augusta. Savannah, tremendous as always. We'll talk to you next week. Got a little ways before our next big tournament, but you mentioned the Shriners and others coming up, so there's still plenty of golf to talk about. Go out there and get you a round of golf in. Tell your boss I gave you permission.
I will. Thanks, Rob.
I like it. Savannah Lee joins us. SportsGirl SL on Twitter at SportsGirl SL. Quick break. We come back in a minute. We'll talk a little wrestling with Zoe, and then we'll hit Twitter trending topics to wrap up the hump day edition of the Rob Brown Show right here on ESPN Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. This is ESPN Upstate. Rob Diesel joined now, of course, by special guest VIP, my man Zoe, is in the building. As earlier today, we found out about the passing of Joe Laurinaitis, Road Warrior Animal, one half of the Road Warriors tag team that dominated the sport of professional wrestling for almost three decades. Hawk and Animal had a reputation for being amongst the baddest dudes in the game. Feuds with the Midnight Express, with Dusty Rhodes, the All-American Dream, the Four Horsemen, the Varsity Club, the Nasty Boys, Demolition, Ted DiBiase, IRS, the Hart Foundation, and more, came up with some of the greatest and most beloved matches in professional wrestling history. So, I got to tell you, man, growing up, when my dad was watching wrestling and he and I would watch together, there were just a few of those holdovers from that age that kind of kept going to a point where they were kind of that crossover moment between me and my old man, and the Road Warriors were amongst his favorite, and over time became one of my favorite too. A sad day in professional wrestling.
Well, definitely, and I'm a decade older than you, so I was back at the beginning when they first started, and I used to watch with my papaw, and he loved those guys, and it was a real honor. I got to interview him last year. He was in town for South Carolina Comic Con, and we interviewed him on Offsides.
Oh, that's awesome. I had never heard that before. I'd 100% would have been there to listen to that. I may have to go back and dig that up out of the archives. And this was a group that they were, to me anyway, they were kind of one of those first tweener groups that even when they would turn heel, which was a logical turn for the Road Warriors coming out and the spikes and the face paint and all that, it was kind of one of those gimmicky 80s, early 90s, even late 70s gimmicks that still worked despite how over the top it was. But even when they turned heels, they almost felt more like anti-heroes to a lot of people than just straight up bad guys. That was a revolutionary tag team that led to, led through and into the end of the golden age of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, before Stone Cold. I mean, Stone Cold gets the credit of being that anti-hero guy. Those guys were there, and the first time I saw them live, I think I was 18 or 19 at the Ohio State Fairgrounds in Ohio. And you see them on TV and you think they're big, but not really that big. And then you see them in life. And I saw him take a chair shot or from the Warlord and the chair just crumple. And it's just like, and he turned around and looked at him and was like, oh my God, how can this guy? And just last year, like I said, he was at South Carolina Comic Con, and seeing how big he truly is, you know, you and I, we're fairly tall, but you go and stand next to that guy, and it's like, oh my God, he is so huge. And it was so cool to get to talk to him, and it was so sad when I saw that this morning that he had passed away.
Yeah, just a disappointing day. Only 60 years old, too. I mean, the guy was nowhere near his time. I remembered back, in fact, when I was reading the news this morning, I was kind of thinking back on some of my favorite Road Warrior clashes, and the first one that came to mind was back right when they came to the WWF, and at the time, before they got to the WWF, they were still wrestling under Crockett Promotions, if I recall, and in order to respond to them, Vince McMahon introduced Demolition, Axe and Smash, who were kind of Axe and Smash, still getting used to these new chompers, Axe and Smash, who were kind of that.
I'm going to try not to laugh at that. But
yeah,
really
that's
hard.
Okay. Everybody else does. You should have seen the text line the day that it happened. It was just a joke off. These two guys were kind of in that group of the Hacksaw Jim Duggins that you could slap them over the back with a chair and nothing would happen. And then you brought in the Road Warriors, and it created one of the greatest tag team rivalries of all time. They would went on to fight the Nasty Boys right after that. Another one of those just over the top, gross, but it worked. You put them up there with the Bushwhackers, etc. I mean, that tag team age was so good, but I don't know that it gets pushed on by VKM and Ted Turner as hard as it does in the WWF and WCW days if it wasn't for just how over the top popular the Road Warriors were, though. And that was at a point in time when you were still talking about regional alliances as opposed to national wrestling companies, and they were still that big.
I completely agree. And even though they were good guys, bad guys, the appeal for children, to dress up like them with the shoulder pads and the paint and all that kind of stuff was out there. I think they really helped with merchandising early on.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. You look at guys like Roman Reigns nowadays, and so much of their success and failure is not predicated necessarily directly on popularity, but what they sell, right? I mean, you can go into arenas where there's a house show, and they'll be selling off-brand. They'll be selling Raw shirts at a SmackDown house show when guys are popular enough to push that kind of merch. I've got friends to this day that still my old roommate back in Fort Walton still had Road Warriors T-shirts from back in the 90s because of how big of a fan he was growing up. I think you're spot on. Those guys' ability not just to get over, but to get people to say, I want to represent, I want to be a member of the Road Warriors was incredible, and it led to the tag team revolution that we had in the early 90s.
You know something else, just their catchphrase, you know, the What a Rush. It would get a pop. Even to this day, I'm sure it would still get a pop. You hear that, and right away, it's one of those classics. You get revved up and ready to go because you know who's coming out.
You know, I'm still guilty occasionally of dropping a What a Rush after something awesome happens. And again, when you can have those types, I was talking with somebody earlier that said, in fact, a young lady that lives in Ohio on Twitter who I follow, and we talked about wrestling at one point. She said, you know, it's crazy to me how as kids we could get so into professional wrestling and then have those wrestlers that projected an image back in the early 90s when we're kids, or in the early 80s or 70s or whenever you were growing up, and those wrestlers are the ones that stick with you even into your older wrestling fandom. I mean, it's not too long from now that, you know, the old guys are going to be going, oh, I remember back in Stone Cold. Stone Cold is still in shape. I mean, he can't go with too many bumps, but he's still physically still built. The Road Warriors have kind of transcended that, in that you still have tag teams to this day that incorporate Road Warriors moves or say What a Rush or do all these things the Warriors used to do just to pay homage and respect to the Road Warriors. That is the type of staying power that shows me that as much as guys like Diesel might hate it, professional wrestling is a sport that is still beloved, and they have their place in it. One of just a few handful of groups that are not only in the WWE Hall of Fame, but in the Wrestling Observer Hall of Fame, which is a little more picky in how guys get in. Their legacy will last forever in professional tag team wrestling, I think.
And they also transcend the sport. I mean, these are guys that if they show up, some guy like Road Warrior, he shows up in full gear, even someone like Diesel would know who it was. He's not nodding. He's not doing it.
Yeah, so, no, he's not.
He was nodding, but not that kind of nodding.
You mean the old mascot for the Greenville Road Warriors, that guy? If he showed up somewhere, I'd probably recognize him. I honestly could not tell you what the road – does he look like a Raider fan?
No, no, no. Raider fans look like him.
Oh,
that, okay.
You know what? That is spot – in fact, that is so spot on. I think that is the best way to explain it. At the end of the day, an entire NFL franchise – built their fan base in the dark hole about looking like the Road Warriors. I think you're spot on. So appreciate it, brother. Have a good show today, man.
Nah.
All right, or don't. That's fine. It's up to you. It's your show. You can do whatever you want. Quick break. We come back. Diesel guides us through Twitter trending topics to wrap up the show. An abbreviated version up next on the Rob Brown Show and ESPN Upstate.
Here's what's happening on the internet. Let's see what Rob Brown knows about it. Trending topic number one is Breonna Taylor.
Yeah, the Kentucky grand jury has indicted one officer on criminal charges in the Breonna Taylor case. The rest of the officers were not charged, and obviously some people very pleased with that decision, some people very much displeased, and I suspect, as unfortunate as it might be, that this is gonna lead to another round of protests. This is gonna lead to, I am sure, some level of rioting down there in Louisville. This is it's not gonna be pretty, unfortunately, and I hate that it continues to happen. I mean, I'm not gonna devolve any further down into that discussion because I don't think it has a place in the show, unfortunately. I'd be happy to address it on Twitter and all that if you're interested in my thoughts and can have a discussion about it. But yeah, unfortunately, just another day of civil unrest in America. And man, I hope we can figure this out as a country one day. I really do.
All right, next topic. If you want to try to squeeze this one in, Gale Sayers or Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, Gale Sayers passing away, 77 years of age, after a years-long health battle that included against dementia. One of the greatest backs of all time, a guy that you wish he would have had a longer career. You wish his knees would have held up for him just a little bit longer. If you're a young man, go to YouTube and watch old Gale Sayers' video. He'll show you what a running back looked like, no doubt about it. That's it. Handed the reins off to Mark Ryan and Lonzo. That's coming up next for Offsides. Make sure you stay tuned for that. We'll be back tomorrow to start making our picks and predictions for the weekend in football. See you then. The Rob Brown Show is on ESPN Upstate. Later.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.